Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and verses 6 and 7. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, and verses 6 and 7. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, and verses 6 and 7. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. What blessed and sacred accounts are left in the Gospels concerning the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we have here the account of the dear servant of God, Mark, and what took place. And we find at the sepulchre these dear women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome. And they had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Oh, they were most gracious characters. One has often felt if we only had a grain of the grace that these dear women had. And one of the reasons why they were so favoured, and what a lesson it is to us, was they lived so near their dear Redeemer. You know, I often think of it, how near are we living to the Lord? And you know, there are things that he will use to bring us near to him. We find in the case of dear Peter, on one occasion it is recorded that he followed the Lord afar off. And if we are honest with our own hearts, there are many times we're the same and we haven't got any stones to throw at that dear man. But with these godly women, they lived near him. They knew what it was to have sweet communion with him and fellowship with him. And he had wonderfully favoured them. But on this occasion, they go up to the sepulchre and all the concern and the grief and the mourning that they were in was deep and profound. But they went up early to anoint his precious body. You know what a lesson there is to us. Oh, to be able to go early and seek him. You, dear young people and dear children, may you be early seekers of the Lord. We're told by the wise man in Proverbs, aren't we? They that seek me early shall find me. And that can be looked at in several ways. First of all, and I'll name one or two, early in life. You know, many of the Lord's dear children are brought to seek the Lord early in their lives. Many of us can look back at those times of early seeking the Lord. And there are reasons why, as I indicated, which will bring us to seek him. With one personally, I can name two occasions. As I've said before, when I was seven, I had pneumonia and whooping cough, and you know, I feared death and all the matters of eternity, and how many times we had to seek the Lord that he would bring us through, if it was his will, and deliver us from the affliction. On another occasion, my mother was at the point of death, and I could take you to the old shed we used to have in the garden, and I remember going there and falling on my knees for the God of heaven that he would spare her life. And wonderfully, he heard and answered one's prayers. Now, I use that as a simple illustration. You see, those things didn't come by chance. It brings us to seek him early. It brings us, like these dear women, to live near the Lord. Why? Because we need him so much. It's like a little child. You know, it often is very close to its mother, isn't it? Why? Because it needs her. It cannot do things itself. And think about our souls and the Lord. And he uses maybe troubles of providence, it may be troubles in our souls, it may be affliction or our sin that weighs us down. And it brings us, doesn't it, to seek him early. Not only early in life, but early in our troubles. And so often, we're the opposite, aren't we, if we're honest? We think we can manage this ourselves or that ourselves. It's like the hymn writer said, "Then at last to him we cry," when we should really go first to the Lord. Seek him early. Now that's the first thing I want to name regarding these dear women. Secondly, they had before them a great stone which they could not roll away themselves. We are told here, isn't it, it was very great. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And there may be those, and I just pause to name it before coming to the text, that have great stones, be very great stones before you today. And as I preach from it before, many great stones the child of God has, which only the Lord, by his blessed power of his resurrection, could roll it away. I love that word, "and when they looked." Are you looking to the Lord to roll your stones away? Am I looking for him to roll mine away? They're very great. They may be like mountains. But you see, they just looked That's all they had to do. You know, I've often stood amazed at that, you know. It's a wonderful thing. They looked. And why did they look? Because that was only he that could do it, and the Lord gave them faith to believe he would. And the stone was rolled away. Well, much could be said on that. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Many of the old divines used to say this was the angel Gabriel. We're not told here, but it was he that brought the message down to Mary that Christ would come into this earth, and she would be the favoured woman to bear him. And here we find this wonderful record. And then, what was the effect of seeing him clothed in this long white garment? They were affrighted. There may be those, and this seemed to so rest upon me as we came from the baptising yesterday, and there are many may have things that affright you today. And the Lord knows what you feel and how you are affrighted, like they were. But how lovingly the angel of God spoke to them. And what is so precious about this was this. He speaks a word suited to their very case. It's like in the word of God, on many occasions there were those that were afraid. You see, this is really what they were. They were afraid, they were frightened. They were full of fear. We read in Matthew, didn't we, how they were full of fear. And there may be those of you this afternoon, I don't know what you may be frightened by. But how beautifully he speaks to them, the angel of heaven. And let us ever remember, it was not just the angel's voice, it was the Lord speaking. And it was suited to their very case. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we, concerning the Lord Jesus, he's suited to every sinner's case. And he is, poor soul, because he came to save them. He came to redeem them. He came to lay down his precious life for them. And in him they live and move and have their being. He's their life, as we looked at this morning. And what does he say to them? Be not affrighted. Just as we read on other occasions, he said to them, be not afraid. You think of Jairus, when the message came that his daughter was dead. The messengers say to him, trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead. And what did Jesus say? Be not afraid, only believe. Here the angel speaks to them, be not affrighted. He was calm in their troubled hearts, you see. And do you not need the Lord to come and calm your troubled heart? Be not affrighted. And only he can. He calms the troubled breasts of his dear people. And may the Lord whisper that to one affrighted soul, whatever it may be that is troubling you, frightening you, and you're afraid this afternoon and full of fear. And what does he say? Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. And that's who they were seeking. But they felt everything was gone because he had been taken by wicked men and had been crucified and slain and laid in the tomb. And they'd witness all this. And oh, how affrighted they were. Be not affrighted, ye seek. How beautifully the angel knew exactly what they were in, because the Lord had revealed it to him from heaven. He is not, he is risen. He is not here, he is risen. Oh, the joy, the blessed music of this must have rung in their souls. He is not here, he is risen. And then he proves the point to them, doesn't he? Behold the place where they laid him. Here was the evidence. You see, we read, don't we, of the grave clothes and the mantle that was about his head. All laid there. He is not here. He is risen. Behold the place. Oh, may we have a little glimpse by faith of behold the place where the Lord lay. As we heard yesterday, come see the place where the Lord lay. I shall never forget preaching from it at Swavesey, a baptising service. You know, it's a beautiful word what we heard yesterday. Here we have the John's record, Mark's record of it, as Matthew recorded it. Behold the place where the Lord lay. It's a beautiful place is where he laid, you know. First of all, he laid in the bosom of the Father before the foundation of the world. There he laid. He lays in his word to reveal himself to his dear people. Oh, he does. There are times where he will lay in the afflictions that his people have. It may be in a hospital bed, it may be in their own bed, and he lays himself there with them. Behold the place where the Lord lay. Have you got any places you can look back to where the Lord has laid and he's been with you there in it? But then, of course, he lays in the hearts of his dear people even today, you know. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, you know, when we can feel the Lord laying in our heart, abiding there. Behold the place where the Lord lay. But of course there's the other side to it which they were to experience here. You know, it's sacred when we can feel the presence of the Lord in our poor hearts or in the sanctuary or in the trial you may be in or in the affliction or in the temptations, the Lord appearing for you in them. But this place where he had laid. Behold the place where they laid him. But now he was not there. And there are times, you know, looking at it regarding our own souls, when we cannot find the Lord. The spouse knew it. He was not there. She couldn't find him. We read, don't we, in the Song of Solomon, she went upon her bed, seeking to find him whom her soul loveth, but she said, I found him not. These dear souls were not to find him in this tomb. Why? Because he'd risen. But he had been there. And then you think of the spouse further. She went out into the streets and lanes of the city, didn't she? And what did she say to the watchman? Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And then we read, she went a little further, and she found him whom her soul loveth. And she held him and would not let him go. And that's what faith will do. The arms of faith will embrace him and reach out for him. They wanted to find the dear Redeemer, these dear women. And oh, what a blessed place they were to be brought to. And then we read this. It was a clear commission to them, wasn't it? Go your way. You see, there are clear commissions which the Lord gives to his dear people, but go your way. You know, when the Lord was to anoint Joshua to lead the children of Israel at the death of Moses, he had to go his way. Go your way. Now, let us be very careful here and very concerned here, you see. That didn't mean they got to go their own way when he said your way. It was the way the Lord had led them, or was to lead them. And he gives them clear commission where they got to go. And like he did to Joshua and leading the children of Israel, they were to go in that way through the, like he did Moses too before him, through the wilderness to the promised land. That's where they were to go. The children of Israel. Here, he says, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. But go your way. Well, I want to look at this first clause in a few ways as help. First of all, go your way in seeking the Lord, that you might find him. I know what the devil will say to you. Well, you can't go your way now because there's so many, and the devil will put so many obstacles in the way, so many troubles, so many barriers. But go there, go your way. We think of dear Daniel. You think of what the Lord said to him. Go thou thy way till the end be, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. And you look right through the book of Daniel, and Daniel's life and experience, the Lord was continually saying to him, there's no going back. The only way is to go forward. I love that couplet of the hymn, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. There may be one tempted to go back in the world. There may be one tempted to give up your religion. There may be one tempted to wander from the Lord and forsake his ways. But go thou thy way till the end be, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. You see, one thing Satan will always do is tempt the child of God to give up. Call no more in Jesus' name. Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. If he can stop us praying, the devil will do all he can. He trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. So this word to these fearful women was a beautiful word. Go your way. In spite of all being affrighted, in spite of all your fears, in spite of all your troubles, go thy way. Go your way. Venture on, in other words. What do we sing in the hymn? If thou press on, the crowds will fly. The devil may put many crowds in front of you. Crowds of unbelieving fears. Worldly crowds to dim thine ears. Why? So you can't go on your way. So this is a sacred word. He speaks to them, you see. A word they needed. And it was a clear word of commandment. Go, but go your way. And then there was a reason they got to go their way. The first reason was to tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Now, let us remember, and it's a very wonderful point, really. And that is this, that it was these dear women that were to take the message to the disciples that Christ had risen. And you know, it set me to think about this, because many would say, well, it was strange it had got to come from these women. And carnal reason may not be able to fathom it out. But you know, there's a wonderful depth here. And let me lead you back. You go back to the fall in the Garden of Eden. The first to fall was the woman. Eve. Out of the tree. Sin entered. So did death. And you know, as I thought about that, you know, I thought how wonderful it was that here was a risen Saviour who came and had conquered sin and conquered death. And was the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And it was these women that were to take that glorious message that Christ had risen to the disciples. He had risen to conquer sin, to conquer death, to conquer hell, to conquer all his enemies. Go your way. Tell his disciples that he is risen. They got something to tell, didn't they? They got the blessed proof, an infallible proof that Christ had risen. There was the empty sepulchre. There was the words of the angels declaring that he's risen. And two, the fulfillment of what Jesus himself had told them, that he would see them in Galilee. There shall you see me. And how sacred this message was to take to them. Now, there's one or two things I just want to briefly name here. And I would ask you this question, and my own heart too. Have we got anything to tell his disciples? You think of Legion, the Mad Gadarene. What did the Lord say to him as he sat at his dear feet? Look what he'd been brought out from. Those tombs and dwelling among the dead, and no man could tame him. And he was brought to the feet of Jesus. And what did Jesus say to him? Go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. He got something to tell them, hadn't he? Look in our poor heart. I know what you'll say, oh, but I've not got much to tell. But can we not tell how the Lord has made us different than what we once were? As servants of Satan and servants of sin, but now we trust we serve the Lord. Have we not got something to tell them of those prayers he had heard and answered? And you've been melted by his goodness, his mercy, his love, his favour toward you. But go your way and tell his disciples. Then think of the blessings that you receive from God's holy word, from under the ministry. And then tell how he's given you sweet tokens for good. The tokens of his everlasting love. The tokens of pardon and of peace. And you know, often the child of God is troubled that the Lord has not said to them, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. You know, sometimes the Lord forgives his people with a kiss of forgiveness. He kisses the sin away. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, we will kiss often a person because of love to them. And that's what the Lord does with his dear people. He gives them a kiss of his love, a pardon, a peace, a blessing in their souls. But go your way. The commandment was clear, wasn't it? The instruction was clear, but go your way. Tell his disciples. Let us pause a moment. I could say much regarding this telling them, but let us just tarry a moment. Who had they got to tell? They hadn't got to tell the whole world, had they? We know there are times where the Lord blesses us and we could tell the whole world. What a dear Saviour we have found. But they'd particularly got to tell his dear disciples. That's his dear disciples, his dear people, you see. We sang yesterday, then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found, and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. It's like those lepers, isn't it? We will arise now and we will go and tell the king's household. And they got something to tell them, hadn't they? The king's household. And who are the king's household? The Lord's dear people. I remember preaching from that at Braintree in 1984 as my father lay dead. Of those lepers going to tell the king's household. And you know, there were those wonderfully blessed that day and unable to go and tell the king's household what a dear saviour they had found. But let us come closer. He didn't just say to them, tell his disciples and Peter. Why, you may say, and Peter? Well, dear Peter, you know, had denied his Lord and Master in that judgment hall. He needed a special word, a message that Christ had risen. And Peter. In other words, and I say it lovingly, don't leave him out. There may be one here today that longing for the Lord's blessing. You see, this one blessed and that one blessed and others favoured and blessed indeed. And what do you say in your soul? Lord, don't leave me out. And you see, Peter wasn't to be left out. Why? Because the Lord loved Peter. We sing in the hymn, concerning dear Peter. Peter loved the Lord. And it may be you love the Lord in many ways. And yet Peter loved his master well, but a loving Peter fell. And you think as he fell in that garden, in that judgment hall, three times to deny his blessed master. And Peter. And the Lord was to wonderfully send this message through these dear women to that dear man. And Peter. And there may be a Peter here who say, I don't mean just in name, but in feeling, Lord, do grant that we may have the message the same as others, the other disciples, and Peter. A special message for him, you see. And why was it a special message? Because he needed it, and the Lord knew he did. I remember some years ago, and the dear man's now in heaven, so I can say it, but I used to have a dear friend, and he fell into a measure of sin. And it's solemn, really, it was, and he was put out of the church, suspended, and then withdrawn from for a number of years. And the dear man, you know, he was brought so low and in such confession and humble repentance. And you know, the Lord spoke to him, pardon and peace. And he so blessed him with this word. That go your way and tell his disciples, and Peter. And you know, when the Lord spoke that, and Peter, it went right home into his heart. And the Lord used it to deliver him. And he was wonderfully restored to the church. And it was a sacred time for the dear man. You see, we're all prone to fall, aren't we? The Lord hates sin, and the Lord will bring his dear people to hate it. But he alone can pronounce such a word as this to poor fallen sinners and Peter. That he goeth before you into Galilee. He'd gone before, you see. Now, much could be said on this. Let me just name one or two things. First of all, As we venture from today, we need the Lord to go before us. Think of that beautiful word the Lord spoke to Joshua through Moses, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The Lord going before him. And Joshua, you know, was to prove that. The Lord went before him in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And look how the Lord went before, dear father Israel, concerning the famine. Joseph was down in Egypt. The Lord had sent him down there by strange and mysterious means. But you see, the Lord sent him down there in charge of all the storehouses of Egypt. The Lord had gone before, you see. They weren't to perish, were they? They feared they would because of the famine. And what did Joseph say? How the Lord sent me before you to preserve life and to preserve a posterity in the earth. The Lord going before. And you see, do we not need in our providential pathway, in our souls, the Lord to go before us? As a church and people, we continually need the Lord to go before us. Oh, we do. And here, he goes before them into Galilee. And then what does he say? There shall you see him. There shall you see him. He's gone before into glory, hasn't he? Think of that beautiful 14th chapter of John. How he speaks of going before his dear people and gone into glory and has prepared a place for them. It's a very sacred and blessed chapter, that is, that 14th chapter, isn't it? And what did he say? And may the Holy Spirit whisper it to us each. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go. And prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, may the Lord not only go before us while we are here in time, but go before us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's gone before his dear people into heaven to land them safe above. As he said unto you. Really, this was a wonderful fulfillment of what the Saviour had told them, that he would go before them into Galilee, and there they should see him, as he said of you. And the angel was declaring this to these dear women. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us. And may we know the blessings those dear women, the dear disciples experienced when they saw him in Galilee. And they could truly bless and praise his holy name, couldn't they?